Welcome back. Today we're talking about Git security for contributors, especially the everyday habit of keeping secrets out of a repository.
And by secrets, we mean more than passwords, right? Because I hear that word and immediately wonder what actually counts.
Right? A secret is anything that lets a person or a program access something they should not be able to access. That includes API keys, GitHub personal access tokens, database passwords, private keys, cloud credentials, payment provider keys, and sometimes configuration files that contain those values.
So if one of those lands in Git, the problem is not just that it looks embarrassing in a commit.
Exactly. If a secret reaches a public GitHub repository, even briefly, you should treat it as compromised. Bots scan public repositories constantly, Git history keeps old versions, forks can preserve the data, and search engines may index it. The consequences can be very real. Cloud bills, private repo access, impersonation, or fraudulent use of a service. GitHub can automatically revoke some GitHub-issued tokens when it detects them. But third-party keys like AWS or Stripe usually need you to rotate them yourself fast.
How should someone use this appendix if they're listening first and reading later?
Use it as a practical reference. It starts with why leaks matter, then moves into prevention, then recovery, then daily habits. If you're using a screen reader, the code blocks contain exact patterns and commands, so switch into focus mode before copying. If you're low vision, the examples are meant to be easy to scan, and the checklist near the end works well as a repeatable pre-push routine.
I like that it is not asking people to become security specialists before they make a contribution.
No, the goal is steady contributor hygiene. The appendix points back to GitHub's code security documentation and related security features as the authoritative reference. So when GitHub changes an interface or expands protection, that is where you confirm the current details.
Let's start with the file I see everywhere but sometimes ignore, gitignore.
A gitignore file tells Git which untracked files to leave alone. If a file matches a pattern in gitignore, it should not show up in Git status, it should not be staged by Git add, and it should not be committed. That makes it your first prevention layer for local files that do not belong in the repository.
What goes in there for security purposes?
Environment files are the big one. Env, env local, env development, env production, and patterns like star.env. Key files belong there too, such as PEM, key, P12, PFX, IDRSA, and ID ed 25519. Credential files also belong there, including credentials, JSON secrets, JSON config slash secrets.yaml, and OAuth slash credentials.
And there are non-secret files that still create noise.
Yes, on macOS that might be DS Store or Apple Double, on Windows Thumbs, DB, and desktop. Ini. Some teams ignore VS Code settings, though other teams intentionally commit shared settings, so check the project norm. Then there are build outputs and dependencies. Node modules, dist, build, Python, pycache, pick files, virtual environments like venv and venv, plus logs, temp files, and cache files.
Here is the part that used to trip me up. If I add env to gitignore after Git already knows about env, am I safe?
Not yet. Gitignore only prevents new untracked files from being added. To check a specific file, run git ls files, env if git prints, env back to you it is already tracked, so run git rm cached, env to stop tracking it while keeping your local file, then add env to gitignore and commit that change.
What about the files I never want to commit anywhere, no matter which project I'm in?
That's a good use for a global gitignore. You can create one with touch tilde slash gitignore global, then tell git to use it with git config global core, exclude as file tilde slash gitignore global, put operating system and editor clutter there. And when you create a new repository, GitHub offers language templates for gitignore. For an existing node project, the appendix shows downloading the node template from github.com/github/gitignore and appending it to your gitignore.
So gitignore keeps local secret files out, but where should the secret actually live when the code needs it?
The usual pattern is environment variables. Do not hardcode something like API key equals skabc123 in your source file. Instead, the code reads from the environment, such as OS, environ, get API key in Python or process.env, API key in JavaScript. The secret exists outside the repository and the code only knows the variable name.
A lot of projects use env files for that locally.
They do, and env is convenient for local development. It might contain GitHub token, database URL, or Stripe secret key for your own machine. The code can load it with a library like dotenv for JavaScript or pythondotenv for Python, but the env file itself must stay in gitignore.
What if a team needs to share the real value?
Do not put it in Slack, email, a GitHub comment, or an issue. For GitHub actions, store it in GitHub actions secrets under repository settings, then secrets and variables, then actions. In a workflow, you can pass it as an environment variable with something like API key from secrets. API key, so the workflow can use it without the value being written into code. For human sharing, use a shared password manager, and for production systems, use a real secrets manager such as AWS Secrets Manager or HashiCorp Vault.
So the code can be public, the variable name can be public, but the value needs a protected home.
The most reliable daily habit is reviewing what you are about to commit before you commit it.
This is where gitadd makes me nervous. It feels convenient, but I never know what else came along for the ride.
That is the risk. Gitadd stages everything in the working directory that Git can add. A safer habit is to stage specific files like gitadd src/auth.js docs/readme.md when you know those are the intended changes. Or use gitadd patch mode, which walks through changes chunk by chunk and asks whether to stage each one.
After staging, how do I inspect the exact thing Git is going to record?
Run git status to hear which files are staged and which are not. Then run git diff stage to review the full stage diff, or git diff stage docs/config.md for one file. Look for hard-coded passwords, tokens, API keys, env files, credential files, and to-do comments that mention private details. If your organization allows it, Copilot Chat can help review a stage diff for accidental secrets, but use the tools and data sharing rules your project expects.
That makes the commit feel less like a leap of faith and more like a final inspection.
Manual review is important, and automation can catch mistakes you miss.
This is where pre-commit hooks come in, right? I know the term, but I want the plain version.
A pre-commit hook is a script that runs automatically when you try to make a commit. If it finds a likely secret or another problem, it blocks the commit and tells you what it found. You can then remove the problem, stage the clean change, and try again.
The appendix mentions detect secrets first. What is the workflow there?
Detect secrets is a Python-based tool and the recommended option in the appendix. You install it, scan the existing repository to create a baseline, review that baseline so known false positives are marked safe, install the pre-commit hook, and test it manually. The baseline matters because it keeps the tool focused on new suspicious changes instead of shouting about old harmless examples every time.
And if someone prefers a different tool?
GitLeaks is another option. It is Go-based, has simple installs on macOS and Windows, can scan the full repository history, and can scan staged changes, which means it checks what you are about to commit. The appendix also shows how to wire it into git/hook/precommit manually.
Then there is the pre-commit framework, which sounds broader than one secret scanner.
Exactly. The pre-commit framework manages multiple hooks from a pre-commit config YAML file in the repo root. You install the framework, add the config, install the hooks, and you can run them manually against all files. That is useful when a project wants secret scanning, formatting, linting, and other checks to run in one repeatable way.
Okay, uncomfortable scenario. I committed a secret. What do I do first?
Rotate the secret immediately. That means create a new key, token, or password, update the service that uses it, and revoke the old one. Do this before you spend time cleaning Git history because the exposed value may already have been copied.
What if I committed it locally but did not push?
That is easier. If it was the last commit, git reset soft head tilde 1 undoes the commit while keeping your changes staged. Then edit the file, remove the secret, make sure the secret file or pattern is in. Git ignore, stage the cleaned version, and commit again.
And if it was pushed to a public repository?
Still rotate first. Then you need to remove the secret from Git history, not just from the latest file. The appendix recommends Git filter repo as the modern tool after installing it. It can remove a specific file from all history or replace a specific secret string throughout history. BFG Repo Cleaner is the fast Java-based alternative. You download it from its project site, remove files from history, or provide a passwords. TXT file with secret strings to replace.
History cleanup sounds like something that can affect other contributors.
It can. Rewriting history usually means a force push of the cleaned history, and collaborators may need to reclone or carefully reset their local copies. After the cleanup, ask GitHub to rescan if alerts remain. The short decision path is: rotate, decide whether it was only local or already pushed, remove the current exposure, clean history when needed, push the clean state, and verify alerts are resolved.
GitHub also has built-in protection before a bad push lands, right?
Yes, GitHub secret scanning looks for known secret patterns, and push protection can block a push when GitHub detects a supported secret type. It is especially helpful because it interrupts the mistake before the secret becomes part of the public repository.
Does that mean I can rely on it to catch every secret?
No, it covers many supported token formats and partner patterns, but it will not catch every custom password, private note, or unusual credential. If push protection blocks you, do not bypass it unless you are certain it is a false positive and your project policy allows the bypass. Remove the secret, rotate it if it was real, recommit the clean change, and push again.
Where does someone check whether it is enabled?
In the repository settings, look for the code security area, then secret scanning and push protection if they are available for that repository and organization. GitHub interface names can shift, so the important thing is to check the repository's security settings and confirm the current status there.
Let's talk about credentials on my own computer. Where should Git and command line tools store them?
Not in a plain text file, not hardcoded in a script, and not pasted into Git config. On macOS, use Keychain. On Windows, Git for Windows normally uses Credential Manager. On Linux, a libsecret-backed credential store is the safer option when it is installed and configured.
How do I check what Git is using right now?
Run git config global credential helper to see the global helper. You can also check the local repository config if needed. For credentials that humans need to retrieve and share, use a password manager with secure sharing rather than a document, chat thread, or note file.
If someone wants a simple routine before contributing to open source, what should they actually do?
Before committing, confirm. Gitignore covers environment and credential files. Stage only the files you intend to include, run git status, review git diff staged, and let your hooks run. Before pushing, watch for secret scanning or push protection messages, and do not push emergency debug files or local configuration. For one-time repository setup, add a language appropriate. Gitignore, configure a global Gitignore, set up hooks, store workflow values in GitHub Action Secrets, and enable the available code security features.
And maintainers have a few extra responsibilities.
They do. Maintainers should enable secret scanning and push protection where available, use branch protection where it fits the project, document how to report a leak secret, and keep dependency alerts such as Dependabot visible. That way, contributors are not relying only on memory. The repository itself helps protect the work.
I appreciate how practical this is. Security here is not about being perfect. It is about building enough checks into your normal Git flow that one tired afternoon does not become a public incident.